Okay, good evening. Okay, this is different than what I'm used to at school. So just a few words. I've been teaching for, I'm getting to 17 years now. Started in Toronto, taught a lot of FSL in Toronto, and now we're here. We moved back. I got tired of teaching FSL in or there. And yeah, so maybe just about my background, because it will inform the rest of the, right? Because most of you guys, like, who's this guy, right? When I got saved, I basically did my first steps in independent Baptist churches, right? So that will, I mean, that will inform a bit, like, where I'm coming from and the tone. It's because of my wife. I would have never put my foot into a Brethren church otherwise. So it's because of my wife. And I'm extremely pleased that I discovered the Brethren. I think there's something quite precious about the Lord's Supper, right? Especially in the fellowship. Okay. When Brian asked me to speak, well, it's the start of the semester for us, and so my mind gravitated right to the idea of first principles. So it's, I don't know if I'll speak in the future, that's besides the point. The point is just my mind went straight to the idea of what's something we could start with, that we should start with. And I mean, we know that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, but that felt a bit too forward. That felt one step forward. I thought, like, my mind went straight to the idea of our sinfulness, saved or not saved. And if I can sum it up, like, to give you, like, the general feel of my approach to this, it was looking at every human, basically, but from a biblical view, right? Like, what does the Bible say about all of us? And I include me, right? Even if we're saved, right? That felt to me like that's the starting point. Because we are in sin, even when we are saved. Like, obviously we are saved. Like, I'm not arguing about that. Like, the indwelling of the Spirit, but the idea is what's our sinful nature doing in the middle of all this? And so essentially, I'm trying to put aside the what it does to be a Christian. That's not my focus. My focus is just on why it's so important to go back to this idea of what our sinfulness does, because it will inform if we take our walk seriously or not, right? There's no point fixing something. I mean, like, what's the challenge of evangelizing, having people asking them to be saved, if you don't tell them what they're saved from, right? I mean, it seems pretty central. See where that goes. Let me just start with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I come before you, Lord. I'm not sure who this message is for. Is it for the crowd or is it more for me, Lord? And I pray that you may bless your word, and because it was convicting to me. And we pray that you may, again, just show us your word and show us the way forward for each of us in every specific way that each of us needs it. In your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, so yeah, I like the slides are going to be dark. It's not a happy message that I have. Okay, so let's just see. Does that work? Does that work? That was working. Okay. So who are we really? So, like, as I said, like, my thinking was just like, what's the lay of the land? So that's what I said earlier. So we need to get a good start, right? Like, we need to know who we are for sure in terms of human, like our human nature. There's no point talking about Christ having achieved for us if we don't know, don't appreciate, can't measure the value of what we've been freed from, what we were really prior to Christ dwelling with us. So there's a lot of verses, so I'm not sure. Well, let's just start with this one here. So Psalm 2, 1, 3. So why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. God's hatred of sin, for thou art not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak thee, saying, the Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. And that's kind of the focus, like it's kind of the tangent that I'm aiming towards. It's this kind of idea here, right? Like the tax collector being justified in the eyes of God, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. So this is kind of my end goal with my message, okay, with my presentation, okay? What does that mean? I'm kind of going by just like painting big strokes, right? Like big paintbrush strokes, okay? Like that's kind of what I'm going to use as approach, because I felt overwhelmed by the topic personally. And yeah, you'll see it's left in a state of like it's unfinished, but the thoughts are, I thought were heavy, but extremely useful. So we miss the mark, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then, like I'm a huge fan of Spurgeon, and Tozer. I've had very good reads from him and really blessed by his material. And so here are some quotes. There'll be quite a few of those during. So Spurgeon says, sin is not a small matter, but the transgression of a holy law by an accountable creature. It is rebellion against the Most High and merits his eternal displeasure. Tozer says, the man who is seriously convinced that he deserves to go to hell is not likely to go there, while the man who believes that he is worthy of heaven is most certainly going to hell. We have polluted garments, Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Spurgeon, our best performances are stained and polluted. Our righteousnesses mark not our sins only, but our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. John Owen, a Puritan, right? We would gain a lot from going back to those readings, right, from the 1600s. Even the duties that we perform for God are so full of sin that we need to repent of our repentance. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart, so we have deceitful hearts. This is who we are. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Spurgeon, the heart is a greater riddle than the Sphinx. You know, the Sphinx ate. the person when they didn't give the right answer, right? That's my memory, right? It deceives others, but worst of all, it deceives itself. Tozer, the heart of man is like deep water. We never know what is down there until the net of circumstances brings it to the surface. Yeah, my girls see a side of me that I'm happy you don't see. Not on usual days, anyway. Right? We're born in sin. Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Spurgeon, this is a confession of original sin, that fountainhead of actual sin. As soon as we have an existence, we have a sinfulness. Tozer, the baby in the crib may look innocent, but that little one carries within his nature the seeds of every crime that was ever committed since Cain killed Abel. There's no good thing. Psalm 14:2-3, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Spurgeon, the whole race is on the wrong road. Man has a genius for depravity. We'll have the video start just after this. So I just got lucky when I was putting my verses together, right? When I love Handel, Messiah. Those of you that don't know the Messiah from Handel, it's a gorgeous, phenomenal piece of music. And so I just asked, like, we have wonderful speakers here, okay? So we'll just have that section after I just read the verse. So Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In the clip, okay, I've had it in my head since last night because I've been listening to it. It's pretty catchy. Just pay attention to with the music when Handel has the singers say, all we like sheep, okay? Just picture that's us. And we're just like jumping in the fields, not knowing what we're doing. Oh, a pretty new blue flower now, right? Like, right? We go there, we're totally misguided. Just picture that, right? Like animals that have no good reason to go where they go, but they do. Because, the other sheep is about to go to it, so I better go to it first. You get the point, right? Like, this is human nature, right? So we'll have the clip, please. have to continue speaking, to be honest. Spurgeon, we are sheep for foolishness, and we have proved the truth of the comparison by our senseless wanderings. We have turned to our own way as if we were wiser than God. Tozer, fallen man is not simply an imperfect creature who needs improvement. He is a rebel who must lay down his arms. I don't think I should go there. Like, just to say, I find 1 Samuel, especially the first half, like so rich in, like, it's endless, like the connections you can make. There's a beautiful connection here. I was just rereading it before coming. Okay, I don't have a Bible on me. It's kind of silly. Okay, let's just skip it. Let's just skip it. I invite you to read 1 Samuel 12, okay? There you go, as a little homework. 1 Samuel 12. It's the passage where Samuel finally has established Saul as king, and God is unhappy, right? And he's putting them, it's a bit like a repetition of Moses giving the option between the in front of the tribes, right? It has a similar feel. So anyway, I'll let you read that. It's I find it fits with our theme. So where we stand. So before I go there, I know I'm talking to Christians. I'm hoping, believing that many, let's hope all of us here are saved. Okay, so like the song was explicit, right? Like it's really by Christ. We know that. So my focus today is really just on this aspect. Our human nature, our fallenness is still at work, even though I'm saved by faith in Christ. So we didn't become a sinner when we first disobeyed. We were born one. This isn't about what we've done. It's about who we are. If we are not just sinners by choice, but sinners by nature, born with hearts that are deceitful above all things, what hope could there possibly be for creatures like us? We know the answer, right? So I'm literally talking to the choir, it's just a way to look at setting the table, basically, for understanding our real life, in like our real challenges. So in my day-to-day business, like just today, right? Like there's probably 2-3 events that happen in my own day where I know I sinned, right? I'm not going to talk about it because it's like you have as many as me, right? Maybe less. Good for you if you do. But and the goal is really to aim for holiness, right? What does that mean, to aim for holiness when we're like that? Right? How are we going to live with this, right? Like, how do we fight it? What does that mean to live by the Spirit, for example? Like, this is just like a very small message. Like obviously I can't pretend to have the answers fully to any of this. My point is just, there is, in my opinion, deep value in going to this end of the story. Because there are many verses, as the first one about the publican and it's a Pharisee, right? Right? Like where the one that's justified is repentant, is in deep, you know, like beating his chest, right? So we're hostile to God, Romans 8:7-8, because the carnal mind, okay, if you're a Christian, like, that applies, okay? If you're a Christian, that applies, right? The carnal mind, like it's alive in me anyway. Is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Thomas Watson, the will of men is not only averse from that which is good, but adverse to it. John Calvin, another Calvinist, by the way, okay, like it's a good quote. The natural man has an irreconcilable hatred against God and can no more be subject to God's law than darkness can become light. And we'll end with prophets. So if this is true, that we're in this condition, what should we expect happens when someone actually meets God? Well, the Bible has stories, has accounts of that. I hate when we use the word stories to talk about, you know, Moses or events. They're not stories, right? They're real events. We know that. We believe that. That went backwards. Okay, so every prophet that had an encounter, you can clearly see what happens to them. They're not on their 2 feet to start. So Isaiah 6:5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Daniel 10:8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Revelations 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet, it's not finished, as dead. That's our God. The complete undoing, Spurgeon. When a man sees God, he loathes himself. The sight of the divine glory makes a man feel his own vileness as nothing else can. Thomas Watson, the sight of God's holiness will make the best saint see himself as the chief of sinners. Okay, so, So I'll end with this one because there's a glimpse of light in this one. I actually moved it down because this one had too much light in it, right? So I wanted to finish on something because I like it was going to defeat my point that we're in sin, right? So can you spot what's the spot of light in this verse? So he quickened us, right? So, and you has he quickened. In the modern versions, that'd be interesting to know. Can someone spot it in the any ESV or whichever? Like, I'd be really, is it made us alive? That'd be interesting. Can you share if you have various versions? Just shout it out, that's okay. What does it say? As he quickened. It's the idea to made alive, essentially. Awesome. What version is that? Yeah. Another one? Thank you. Okay. So this is a good spot to stop. Spiritual death is not the absence of a soul, but the absence of spiritual life in the soul. So essentially where I'm aiming is where do we go from here, right? Again, I hope, I wish that this was not discouraging. That was not the goal at all. The goal was to refocus us so that we have a better understanding of our standing in front of God, with the goal, with pushing for holiness, basically. So since this is our nature, is it a surprise that living in a holy way, anyway, I don't know for you, but I feel it's always a challenge. It never leaves me, basically. So is that a surprise? The answer is obviously no, right? Okay, so thank you.